Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet. Welcome to season 230, episode 4 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Yes, it's the podcast where we take a deep fucking dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, March 31st, 2022. Not only is it National Crayon Day, not only is it National Prom Day, it is the debut, the premiere of Miles and Jack Got Boosties, an NBA podcast with none other than very special guest Jacquees Neal, who we will get to in a moment. So for those listeners of the Daily Zeitgeist who say, why do they keep talking about basketball? Well, now we have a podcast where we will only talk basketball. And we have some great, hilarious guests coming up. So please check out Matt Boosties, you know, subscribe, leave a review, you know, support the friends that you have made parasocial relationships with via this podcast. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Don't go talking basketball. Please stick to the news, events, and trends that you're used to. Surely you'll crush the coverage and take Stephen A's job. But we think you're working too hard. Y'all don't hear me. Okay, shout out TLC Waterfall. Shout out Cool Cool Sweet Sweet on Discord for that wonderful AKA. Yeah, maybe we're working too hard. I don't know. When you just talk out loud all the time, you lose track of time. But enough about me. Time to bring in the guest co-host this week. The guest co-host with the mo-host. You know him from podcast, comedy, acting. You've probably heard his voice places as this man's VO career is taking off. I am thrilled to introduce my co-host today, straight from Chicago, via Los Angeles, or Los Angeles via Chicago, however you say that. Please welcome Jacquees Neal!
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. Will Smith smacked me a couple times. He keeps doing it on stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now, and Jacquees is singing this song for you. Yes. Oh, what up, niggas? Here we are. We're back. We are here. It's going to be nothing but Will Smith and Chris Rock related songs all week.
All week. And don't expect
that's what you get in.
Any talk about
this. Don't expect nothing else. Yeah. Nothing else. Hello, Miles Gray. How are you today?
I'm well. You know, the sun has risen on another day of terrible Twitter takes.
Mm-hmm. It's bad, man. It's bad. And you know what else is bad too, man? Like we were talking about this before, how we wake up and doom scroll. And also, you know, for those of us who don't sleep well with insomnia, you also wake up with like little headaches and shit. And so you doom scroll and you're like, I got COVID. And then you doom scrolling and you got, and it's just, you just have a terrible start to your fucking morning. And then you get up out of the bed and everything is fine.
Yeah.
But that's where
I'm at. Just get out of the bed. Just don't look at,
just get out of the bed.
Honestly, I've not come up against a harder challenge than trying to spend 30 minutes straight from when I wake up and not look at my phone. It's been true. Yeah. It's like, I have to like put in another part of the house or some shit. I have to put it like a 30 minute drive away from my house just so by default, I'll spend 30 minutes not looking at it. But it's a work in progress. You know what I mean? As Will Smith says, work in progress.
It's a work, yes. I mean? It's a work in progress for all us vessels of love.
Exactly. And that's right. We're all just trying to be a vessel. Now, we got to bring in our guest. We got to introduce our guest. Our guest today, you've heard her before on this show. And maybe you've even heard me on her other podcast, Mall Talk, which isn't happening anymore, but still a stellar podcast because mall culture is huge for me. And to have a show that is so dedicated to mall culture and its importance is fantastic. If you don't know from the podcast, you've probably seen her doing comedy. You maybe have seen something she's written on. She's been places like The Late Late Show on Comedy Central, things you've heard of. I've never been to those places, only through association because I know people who work at those places, but not my stinking ass would never be there. I am thrilled and honored to introduce today's guest, the hilarious and talented Paige Weldon!
Oh, hello. Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. What's I was just thinking about how this morning I woke up and I guess I must have forgot last night, not to brag, but I'm usually up past midnight, but I forgot to do the Wordle. And I woke up this morning and it was like, something to do on my phone that isn't looking at Instagram or Twitter. Like, thank God.
Right. Just keep it Wordle. Just keep it Wordle.
I was like,
I do the Wordle every morning. Every morning when I wake up, it is probably the first thing I do now. And I missed my first one yesterday.
How
long was your streak?
It was shale. I'm tired of these double letter words. I don't like them.
Yeah.
I like it.
Wait, how long of a streak did you have on Word?
80.
Oh, shit.
80.
Okay, so you were really doing
it. I was mad, bro. Wow. I was so mad.
Do they give you like a medal, like when you hit like 100 or something, or it's just for your own pride?
Oh, man, no, they send you cocaine when you hit 100.
Yeah, the dark secret of Wordle.
Yeah,
this is the dark secret of Wordle. They send you cocaine when you get 100. Now I got shit. Now I'm not gonna get my cocaine this summer, man.
Right now you gotta take a bunch of Claritin D to get that.
Now I gotta take some Claritin D. Yeah.
Have y'all played Hurdle yet?
I have. No. I lost it today.
Oh, I had a few shaky starts the last 2 days. I've been killing it. Hurdle is the game where it plays 1 second of the first second of a song and it reveals more and more of a song and you have to just go right there. How much of a song do you know right off the rip?
Oh my God. Are they always like top 40? Is it like really like big songs?
Yeah. For example, like yesterday was Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were thrown off because they had never heard the
I can't believe that. That is the beginning of the song. I was like, what are you talking about? You've never heard that. That is the beginning of the song.
I saw people being like, I've never heard this version. I'm like, what? Did you use LimeWire? Because I felt like everybody who downloaded that shit off Kazaa or whatever had it with the And for me in Japan, like, being the Blackanese kid, I was like, yo, this is Japanese! And they were like, what? And they're like, what they saying? I'm like, yo, they're basically saying, like, we're about to turn up starting right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit paper. So,
crazy. I'm picturing that, not sure if you guys remember the beginning of that Sum 41 album that starts, like, it's like a devil voice being, and then it concludes and being like, and the sum was 41. Do you remember that?
No. The only Sum 41, I was only getting the hits off of the MTV.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I was only getting the hits on not even, I was about to say BET, but that would have been inaccurate.
If they were on BET, you know, that might have been something.
They didn't have Derek Whibley on there.
What was their first hit? Was it the one, I don't want to waste my time with the vanity of society? That's Sum 41, right?
victim of the conformity. Yeah,
there you go. Okay. See, I know, yeah. I know, like the general energy of Sum 41.
You know,
for sure.
I liked Sum 41, and then I did this podcast, Stand by Your Band, where I wanted to do Green Day. I don't know if you've ever done that podcast or listened to it. It's Tom Takkar and Tommy McNamara. They have you defend like a, you know, sort of shit on band, you know, like I'm not gonna say they're bad necessarily.
I know,
but,
I know you have some defending to do. You could hold it down on that show too.
Well, I wanted to hop on and do Green Day, and then Tom told me that he thought that they were actually too well regarded, and I said that's not true. I feel like people really hate on Green Day.
Yeah,
but what about these other bands? And then I ended up doing Sum 41, and it really like made me revisit their discography.
Yeah.
And did you have a hard time defending them?
I did. Well, you know, the thing is they have a first, like their first couple are fun and then they really go off the rails.
Oh, right.
You know, All Killer No Filler is a good time, but then it gets out of control.
Right. Oh, man.
I don't know who I would do on that. It's not a band, but I would do like Jason Mraz or some shit.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I know you've always gone to bat for Jason Mraz. And I was like, I've never heard somebody fully articulate a good defense. Where I was like, you know, I can't. How am I going to get mad? Pointed out all the good shit about Jason Mraz.
I got to revisit him.
Exactly. All right. So let's give people a sneak peek at what we're going to be talking about. Trump is off and gone and calling out Putin's name, saying, help me. Because he's in a bit of controversy, many controversies. So he's decided to go with the worst possible backup plan ever, which is call out for Vladimir Putin's help in the midst of all this chaos. Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about something called petro-masculinity, which is something I saw in this article regarding like turnoffs with like this intersection of like masculinity and as it relates to climate change and how that's a big deal breaker in the dating world. Climate change is actually a huge topic in the online dating world. And then we'll also talk about the cool new Wendy's that's opening up in the metaverse and maybe some other shit. But I still don't understand this metaverse shit. And the more I read it, I'm like, how did anyone think this is a good idea? So we'll talk about all that and more. But first, Paige, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. I recently searched Taylor Swift hair change. Okay. And this is because I was talking to a friend about a hair product I was excited about that I have found at Marshall's. Okay. And I was talking about how when I was younger, my hair was like very curly. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, it's more like wavy, a little bit curly, but it was like bouncy, like tight curls, and it just faded. And my friend was like, isn't that what happened to Taylor Swift? Didn't she talk about that? And I was like, I've been joking for a long time that me and Taylor Swift have the same hair journey. I didn't know. I thought she was just choosing to have wavy or straight hair.
Right.
But then I Googled it, and it was part of like when she did that weird article before she turned 30 about like the things I've learned as I've turned 30, which I guess I kind of dipped out of because I love Taylor Swift, but I was like, I don't think I can read this list of things she's learned. I just
her life lessons. Right.
You know, sometimes you got to check out on her. But it turns out that is what happened. Her hair just changed. And I think it's like a hormonal thing. You just your chemistry changes over the years.
Yeah.
But I had to confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything else you could like. Are there explanations? I'm sure it's like with age. I remember when I was a baby, I had like wavy hair and then it got super curly and then it got wavy when I hit puberty and then it fell out. So, you know, it was a bit of a tough hair journey, but I'm still looking for explanations.
Me too. And I always thought with Taylor Swift, I thought it was like maybe, I guess it could be that she probably had a lot of different treatments on her hair over the years, just straightening it all the time. But
hormones.
I looked it up and other people experience this too. Your hair just changes.
Yeah.
Becca was like, your hormones change every 7 to 10 years. But like, at what age does that start? What age does that start? Because everybody says that, like, you know, how like your taste buds change every 7 to 10 years. Your hormones, things change. But at what age?
Right.
She was like 20.
She's saying 20.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm like two flips in.
That feels accurate to me.
if it's every 7 to 10 years, I mean, if we're going to be charitable and we'll say on the seven, I've had two flips then for since 20.
Yeah.
So when was the last time? Maybe when I was 34?
Yeah. What happened? It feels accurate to me because I feel like maybe like around like 27 is when my hair like stopped having the same curl to it.
Right.
That feels true.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoa.
See, for the last seven for the last 7 years, I've just like had like a fro-ish type hair. So like I'm scared to cut my hair now because if I do, I feel like once I cut it, I might have like a George Jefferson going on and you don't know, right? Like some people when they finally cut all their hair, then they can't grow back anymore. Yeah, that shit happens, man. That shit happens. It's scary.
Just get that shit really wet, you know? And have a good friend comb your hair and look for you.
Part of me was in my head that like during the pandemic, like my hair got so long, I was like, it was like, it got even worse because there was like weight on it. Because
you know, there's
this whole thing with curling. Like I'm sure, like I don't know if you guys know about, I think it's called like plopping or something, where girls will like, or anyone with long hair will like put their hair up in a towel so it doesn't have weight on it while it's drying and it'll make it curlier.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a whole universe.
Shout out flopping. Yeah,
of methods.
Universe that I will never know about.
I will say this too. Every time I hear the name Taylor Swift, and look, I got nothing against Taylor Swift. I like a couple of her songs. I'm never here to hate on T Swizzle, but my favorite piece of shade of all time in the history of shade was that interview with Aretha Franklin where like the interviewer was asking her about different artists today and she was like, oh, tell me about Adele. And Aretha was like, oh, you know, just a beautiful voice. And then they get to Taylor Swift and she like nods her head, a beautiful gowns.
Oh.
Oh,
that's
that
so funny too because
me.
I do not feel like Taylor Swift's general style is really one of her strengths.
It's not. Yeah. I don't. That's the shade.
Aretha damn sure wasn't going to say the voice, so she had to go to fucking gowns.
She just remembered a picture she saw recently or something.
Yes. I was
Can you imagine
like,
if Aretha hit those notes in Trouble with just a little soul to it? Wow, have a whole different dimension. Oh, and who is your friend that told you about Taylor's hair journey?
My friend Emily, who I
okay.
Just to host small talk with.
I was like, it was that or maybe Ellie McIlvain, the other person who anytime I mention Taylor Swift, I get bombarded with information. But, you know, that's why she has a podcast. If you fuck with Taylor Swift, please check out Ellie's podcast because that shit will do you right. Okay.
I'm on the very first episode of Ellie's podcast. I was honored.
There it is.
Ellie and I, we of course famously went to the Reputation Tour together. And,
okay.
It was one of the best nights of my life.
There it is. See? What's something you think is overrated, Paige?
Okay, I always struggle with this because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, okay? But I was thinking about this the other day because it was a rainy day. I would say rainy days in Southern California, I feel like people go, oh, it's so rare. We get to, you know, it's a cozy day. And when I was younger, I grew up in Southern California. I feel like I loved it. I was like an opportunity, you know, to be dramatic or whatever. But now I'm like, I'm an adult and I have like errands to run and I'm just annoyed. And it was driving me crazy. I was like, I just want to go like return this thing and it's going to get all wet. And
yeah,
this is so annoying.
I think like in LA, in Southern California, I guess, you know, because you know, I grew up with rain. Miles, you're from here too, right? You're from SoCal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you both are from SoCal. Yeah. So like the thing about it is what pisses me off is people don't know how to act in the rain out here.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right,
is like people don't know how to drive anymore in the rain. People don't know like what to do. And it just gets it's annoying. Like because, you know, it rains in Chicago.
Right.
People just go up. People still driving 90 on the freeway.
Oh, yeah. When I was here in the winter. I was like, what the f-? There's snow out here and people are fucking gunning it. But that's my soft California ass being like, weather?
Oh. Well, yeah. And like LA and like most cities in Southern California are just like not built for it. Like it's, everything's got giant puddles and like, I was making fun of my friend who's from Connecticut, but she's lived out here for a long time. And she was like, oh, I'm at this thing and my socks are all wet. And I was like, what shoes are you wearing? And she told me she was wearing Vans. And I was like, you've gone full SoCal, because right. That was what we did. Like, you growing up here, it's like you don't really need good shoes for rain because it almost never happens. Yeah. So you just go to school and just get your Vans soaked.
Right.
And I was like, you fully become part of the Southern California culture.
I didn't have a rain jacket till I was like 30.
Yeah. That's I like wild. Still don't That's really wild. Have shoes that are good for rain. I just have shoes
I
that
just
are
got
slightly
some
okay.
A year ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, maybe I'll wear them one day.
Yeah.
But even now I have that bad habit of being the kid who was wringing his socks out in class. Like that used to be me. Yeah. Well, not like, you know, right away. There. I would do it over the trash away. Can. I'd do it over
man,
the trash
I
can.
I want to see your sock juice going out to the...
Hey, look, I did it. Anywhere. I only did it in the science lab, you know, where it made sense, like, to do it there. Not in, like, an English class.
It's part
something.
Of a project.
Right. Just see how much volume I got in this sock today.
Nasty. Nasty. Also, it's so not weird, much. Too. Like, I have a personal trainer, and, like, we work out outside most of the time. Like, since, you know, during COVID. Yeah. But he has a little indoor area where he can work out. And the day before it rained, I was like, hey, so tomorrow it's supposed to rain all day. And so, like, we going inside, right? He was like, right. Oh, yeah, if you want to. Like, yeah, nigga, I want to. It's supposed to rain all day. What you mean like, if I want to?
Not light right. rain either. It was yeah. pouring.
Right.
Yeah,
I was like, this is going to be some officer and a gentleman shit out here. In the rain, doing your push-ups. Let's go. Jeez.
Yeah. We ain't going to war, bro. I just want to, like, lose a couple LBs.
Exactly. Just please. Just I need it. I don't want to get fully inundated with water. Underrated, Paige. What is something that you think is fucking underrated?
Okay. I want to bring this up because I'm hoping it could maybe open a larger conversation about rom-coms and what we like in rom-coms.
Fuck yeah.
But Okay, this happens to me all the time. I see a movie and I enjoy myself and then I find out people think it's stupid or the flip. It's like, I'm like, that sucked and everyone loves it. And right. I really had a great time seeing Marry Me, the new J-Lo movie.
Marry me, marry me, say yes. Marry me, marry me, say yes.
I think it's underrated.
Is that the theme song to the movie?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the titular song to the film. They performed it so many times. I don't know which version I like. The one from the film, the one that they did, like, IRL at the performance. Paige, I'm kind of with you on this. I don't know why.
Fun.
I barely, like, it takes a lot for me to take my ass to see a film that's been released. I will watch, if something I perceive to be, like, quote-unquote shitty or campy, I'm fucking there.
Yes.
Like, immediately. And I saw what? I saw Marry Me, like, maybe 5 days after it came out.
Yeah.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, I feel like I'm realizing that unless a movie is actually funny, like, say, like a Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I'd rather it just be, like, mostly rom with, like, sprinkles of com, which I feel like Marry Me has. It's, like, mostly just kind of, like, a cheesy movie with, like...
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, there's little moments of comic relief, but...
Yeah.
Like, I saw The Lost City.
Right.
It was, like, fine. I was like, this is more trying to be funny than it is trying to be, like, cute. And I was like,
this is a rom-com? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a movie about, I don't know, ancient war or some shit.
I know. When I saw it, I was like, is this Uncharted but with fucking?
I literally couldn't remember the title. I kept being like, the Sandra Bullock movie. Like, I was like, I can't remember what it's called.
That one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. With Channing Tatum in.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sandra Bullock, that one.
That one.
Okay, because, I want to see Lost City, but for different reasons, because people say it's fun, it's like, it's got all these things going on, but, like, Marry Me, when people say, oh, you watched, the first reaction when I tell people I saw was, oh, you watched that?
I got the same reaction where it's like, oh, I heard it's, like, terrible, they don't have good chemistry, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a sexy movie, but...
No. It's also, it's just funny to see Owen Wilson trying to pull J-Lo, and you're like, this is so incongruent. There's nothing I can, like, even, like, the setup doesn't make sense. The moment where he's like proposing by really just passively. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you have no reason to say yes, Owen Wilson. This woman just said, I'll marry you. You have no motivation going into this scene to suggest that you want to be married. But then you get married and I'm like, fuck it. I love that nobody even gave a fuck about even that most basic premise of storytelling.
I think his motivation was twofold, Miles. I think one, he wanted his daughter to think he was cool, right? That's the whole reason he was at the concert in the first place, okay?
Begrudgingly, right?
Secondly, he felt for her in that moment. He didn't want to embarrass her. So he said yes. I think that's what went into it.
And even also, that's a huge reach, but I love it.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson, low key. Be pulling these fine ass women in these movies. He had Rachel McAdams twice. Wedding Crashers. Y'all ever see Hall Pass? You remember that movie Hall Pass?
No, but I mean, I man,
yeah.
I know
the girl
about it,
he pulling that fine, boy, she fine as hell. Like, what? Owen Wilson, you can't stop. And then J-Lo, come on. Owen Wilson is the poster child for, damn, she with him?
That's kind of what the movie is.
Oh, totally.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes
a lot
sense.
Of that.
But there is like the cheesiness I love that was kind of, you know what it is? It reminds you of shit from the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Where like the jobs weren't rooted in reality.
Yep.
Even the portrayal of these things were not rooted in reality. You're just like, yeah, she's a pop star. That's what she does. She sits in a glass high rise suite and someone does her hair while she texts. And that's why she's busy today. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Simpler times. Simpler
and he's
times.
A teacher, and that's likable, and that's enough. They go, okay, he's nice.
Look,
and that's all
nice.
There is about him.
Sarah Silverman's his friend. What more do we have to say here? He's fuckable, okay?
It's very formulaic in the way that I wanted it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It was satisfying.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love a good rom-com. Yeah, love a good rom-com.
Would you guys have a favorite rom-com that comes to mind?
I love One Fine Day.
Oh, that's a good one. One Fine Day.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one.
Oh, with George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Looks like I know what I'm doing tonight.
I mean,
I'll be checking it out.
I don't even know why. I only say that because it was like I went on a date in sixth grade. That was like one of the first movies I went on a date to see.
Yeah.
Shout out Kristen, who went with me. And yeah, now that's kind of, so that's been implanted in my mind. But I like a few. What about you, Jaquise?
I have two that are like top for me. Hitch is one of my favorite movies. My Best Friend's Wedding. Classic rom-com.
Very classic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess you can consider Forgetting Sarah Marshall a rom-com, but I do forget that that's technically a rom-com. I love Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's a rom-com. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is so fucking good.
It's so fucking good. It is.
It's
very
so good.
Good.
It's so good that you forget it's like 2.5 hours long. You're like,
yeah.
It's so good. I think my favorite has to be 10 Things I Hate About You. I just love that movie. It's just
a good one.
It's so good.
Okay.
It's a good
I've
one.
Seen it the most, I feel. Yeah.
Maybe. And then The Best Man. Maybe might be. Another
The Best Man, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Is that a comedy? Is that a comedy? I'm thinking of that last sad one. Would it, like somebody died or some shit? It was like The Best Man's Funeral or some shit.
Oh. The follow up. The rom-coms though, they're just. I think it's the same reason why I like holiday movies, like bad Christmas movies, because they're predictable. They're not going to throw me off. They're not going to challenge me emotionally.
Yep.
Like art would.
Yep. Exactly. There's a place for people underrated is the concept of just watchability. Like it doesn't have to be incredible. Sometimes you just want to watch something.
You just want to watch something.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I reject just, that in
whatever.
Order to enjoy movies. I reject that in order to enjoy movies, they have to be good. Like, that's a weird notion to me.
It's just up to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, watch whatever the fuck you want.
It just has to be enjoyable.
Justin is asking, The Princess Bride count? Yeah.
I think so.
Of course. You know,
you won't Andre the Giant?
Is romance at the center of it?
It's a little, I mean, I guess it's tough because a lot of movies do just have, you know, a romantic storyline, and then you start to get into the weeds of like, is this like a classic rom-com? I think Princess Bride. It's been so long since I watched it, but
yeah, it's been a minute.
It could qualify.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could put that in there. Why not?
Why not?
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back to talk about the news right after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. So Trump is out here. I'm going to fuck this fucking guy. So really going for it this week, Donald Trump. We talked about the lackluster rally over the weekend in Georgia and just the general lack of attention on that, aside from like the wild demonic shit that was said by the candidates that he was backing. But then Trump finally got in the spotlight again the week. Don't worry, it didn't go too far because the records he turned over to the January 6th committee has a total black hole of information. We touched on this on the trending episode the other day. But this call, the missing call logs, there's a fucking like gigantic nearly 8 hour hole in the call logs on the day of January 6th. Okay, so I'll just read an excerpt from, I believe the Washington Post said, quote, the lack of an official White House notation of any calls placed to or by Trump for 457 minutes from 11:17 to 6:54 p.m. On January 6th means there is no record of the calls made by Trump as his supporters descended on the Capitol. Battled, overwhelmed, police and forcibly entered the building, prompting lawmakers and Vice President Mike Pence to flee for safety. It's been, I mean, at this point, it's we know Trump was talking to people. It's been widely reported that people have been on the phone, had tried to get him on the phone, spoke to him on January 6th, begging him to fucking call off these people. So that much is known. So everyone's like, well, then what the fuck's going on? I think the likely conclusion is that this dude was, you know, pretending that he was on his fucking The Wire shit, and he decided to switch it up to burner phones to circumvent the presidential call logs, because as president, you're supposed to fucking, you know, track all of this shit because it's part of your administration. It factors into the decision making as president. And we all know certain things, right? Like there are certain things that are 100% undeniable, like Jim Jordan from Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan fucking spoke to Donald Trump. We know that because this dude has said multiple times, like very nervously, because he didn't was like, oh, shit, I'm not fucking myself up by admitting this, has said, oh, yeah, I spoke to Donald Trump on the 6th.
So I want to clear it up. First off, yes or no, did you speak with President Trump on January 6th?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with the president last week. I speak with the president all the time. I spoke with him on January 6th. I mean, I talk with President Trump all the time. And that's I don't think that's unusual. I would expect members of Congress to talk with the president of the United States when they're trying to get done the things they told the voters in their district to do. I'm actually kind of amazed sometimes.
Oh, shit. Was I not supposed to say that part? So we knew that he spoke to the president on that day.
Also, I would venture to say that most people in Congress don't fucking talk to the president. That's a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's a lot of, it's like 500 something people. Like, that nigga ain't talking to everybody. I wouldn't want to. Leave me alone. That's what I got secretaries and chiefs of staffs and stuff for. Like, so stop lying.
Right. Exactly. It's only the thirstiest, most loyal white supremacists who have no spine who talk to the president. That's kind of the
He's
sort
like,
of
benchmark. I talked to him at 11:18 and I guess that's weirdly when the records stop, but I'm not sure.
And then again, like at 7 when the records started up again. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Those are our usual times we usually talk. So
so then we also know he spoke to Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader at the time, during the fucking attack. There are other like numerous representatives from the House were like, yeah, I was there when McCarthy was trying to talk to Trump when we were in the Capitol scared. That was a real thing. We know he spoke to Tommy Tuberville. We know he spoke to Mike Lee. We know he spoke to so many fucking people that day. So it all just makes it clear that there was a coordinated rat fuckery party underway on the January 6th, as if that wasn't clear enough based on everything we were hearing come out of this person's mouth and the people around him during this time. And so many prosecutors have said, you know, the one thing about this is that this kind of blows a hole in one of his potential defenses in this shit, which is many people had speculated that he may use this defense that he really believed that the election was being stolen and there was all this widespread fraud because stupid and just passionate. And he was actually acting in good faith when he did all of these things because he seriously thought that the election was, you know, being illegally taken from him. And most of these prosecutors point out, they said, you know, that works to a certain point. But when you point to the fact that you're using burner phones and having huge gaps in your official communication logs on the day in question, it kind of almost makes it seem that the people involved knew that they needed to conceal their actions on some level. And then it's hard to say, well, he was doing this in good faith, because if he was, he would have done it with his chest out on the call logs rather than being like, OK, man, we got to keep this shit secret, because if they start putting shit together, the whole fucking thing's a wrap.
So it's a very, very murky situation at the moment.
It's a very, murky, it's a very funny thing, man. You know, like, I know this is 5 years ago at this, 6 years ago at this point, shit, we're all old, but the whole put our emails stuff, you know, right. And it just cracks me up that we literally, well, he resigned, but we're about to impeach a president who resigned for something like this, like keeping shit off the record, right? Which is why a lot of these presidential records are a thing, because everything needs to be transparent. And you have 6 out. You know how I could do drugs and get very high and become sober again in the amount of time that Trump didn't have his calls on the record. Like, that is so egregious. Right. That's so egregious to let any of these Republicans who aren't saying anything about this, like, this isn't weird, who are also complaining about the emails, let, like,
right,
their kids or their significant other go off the map for 7 hours when they weren't expecting them to.
Right.
Let that shit happen. They'll be like, hold on now. Like,
right,
it's so egregious, and I don't understand how you can.
The other thing, to speak to that point, right, that everybody who's been around Trump is like, this dude cannot put his phone down. He is addicted to the phone. There's no way. They're like, I can't even imagine an hour goes by where this dude isn't holding or talking on a phone. That's just not who he is. So there's so many things that you're just like, this goes against everything we know, but I guess this is the hand that they have to play, because it's just so transparently corrupt. But again, we're all sitting here being like, I don't know, are they gonna fucking do something though? Like, is that like a fucking option here? And I know that people are saying, just wait to see what the DOJ is doing, wait to see. But I'm not trying to wait and see from, like, the, you know, re-education camp, because I was talking too spicy on the internet when the fucking Trump 2 takes over. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
You know what this makes me think of? And I hate to paraphrase somebody else's bit, but do you know the comedian Sean Grant? He's hilarious. He just had a set come out on Don't Tell. He used to do this joke, and maybe he doesn't even do it anymore, about, like, the amount of time you cannot text someone back without it. And the phrase he repeats is, that's disrespectful if you don't text back. And he goes, and don't tell me you were at work, because I was thinking about, like, 6 hours. That's like a shift. Like, like someone could work a shift in the amount of time that Trump was off the grid.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I just,
yeah. And not even, like, a fun shift. That's a shift where you're like, God damn, when I'm getting off, man.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, I still have 3 more hours? Jesus.
Kids are doing key bumps and just watching the news, dancing and shit. What the fuck has my life become? So anyway, because of all this attention, it became clear that, you know, like we said, crime is clear as day. So it makes sense that now Trump is trying to smoke bomb his way out of it and immediately fucking pivots on calling Tyrone Putin, because he is asking him, help me, Putin, please dig up this dirt on Hunter Biden. This man really just begged. Let me just play this clip where he's like laying out this previously unheard of allegation where a Russian oligarch who used to be the wife of the mayor of Moscow gave Hunter Biden like millions of dollars.
And one thing while I'm on your show, as long as Putin now is not exactly a fan of our country, let him explain because Chris Wallace wouldn't let me ask the question. Why did the mayor of Moscow's wife give the Bidens, both of them, $3.5 million? That's a lot of money. She gave him $3.5 million. So now I would think Putin would know the answer to that. I think he should release it. I think we should know that answer.
Now, I don't know what else he's going to say there, but his makeup is not even on good in this clip. I'm going to say that is an indicator of, I see that as something not working well, because he's like an inch away from his hairline. Like, it really looks like he just dipped his face in a bowl of, like, makeup and then just stopped at a certain point, because he never gets it around his eyes. But while all of this stammering goes on, he's saying, hey, maybe Putin knows. I don't know, man. That guy's pretty cool, right? No? Huh? I don't know what the, I don't exactly sure what his strategy is here, because most people are saying, like, it doesn't make sense on any level. It doesn't make sense politically, right? Because you're not going to then be like, hey, Satan, why don't you have my back over here? Or like whatever, the this person is a pariah globally at the moment. So to align yourself doesn't help anything. It's not like, it's not even popular. Like the war isn't popular at all. So what is it for? Just your ego? What?
Also, the funniest way to start a sentence, since he don't like America right now, why don't you go ahead and help a brother out? Because I don't like America
exactly
either.
A fan of our country.
I'm not a fan either. So, you know, we're on the same wavelength. Why don't you go ahead and help a brother out? Like, stupid. It's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
It's funny. So, I mean, listen, if Donald Trump was not in every possible way a danger to, you know, what he represents and his term and everything, wasn't a danger to society as far as policy and toxic way of thinking, he would be the funniest politician of all time. Because, right. Like,
I think we all agree.
If only he was the mayor of some inconsequential place.
Yeah, because it is like the shit he says is parody. Like you don't need a parody of Donald Trump because he is a parody all by himself.
Yeah,
and it's of very himself, funny.
You know, that's the genius of the art. You know, of this performance art that he's engaged in. It's truly something else. All right. Let's actually switch gears really quick to talk about this OkCupid polling that came out that has been widely discussed, especially because it sort of aligns with other polls that have come from like dating sites when they're just trying to do a quick vibrational check on the users of the apps and their services. And this latest sort of survey that they did with their users, you know, they stumbled upon an issue that unites and divides potential mates more than anything, which turns out it's climate change. They say climate change or climate denial, quote, was the biggest deal breaker for users on the popular dating app, surpassing differences on gun control, abortion and other issues. Over the past year, the app has asked 250,000 people if it was important that a potential paramour care about the planet. And 90% said it was. So that's pretty good. 90% of people are like, yeah, if you don't fucking acknowledge Earth death, like in general, how are you going to like be good at anything that involves paying attention to me or having a future? And it makes sense because considering that around 45% of young people in a recent study in The Lancet said that like 45% of young people have had like emotional distress over the state of climate change and looking at the dire fucking straits we're in and like the lack of movement around anything, not only has it negatively impacted their emotions, but just impacted their ability to enjoy just their day-to-day life because it's something that's like looming in the back of their head. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want something that you're freaking, it's like racism, right? If you're like, I don't want to be with somebody who's like, racism's not real. I'm like, well, we're not looking at the same fucking universe. So I get the idea, too, for something like climate change that is so it's an existential threat that people are looking for this kind of overlap, you know?
It's interesting that it ranks higher than certain other issues that they like.
That's what,
like you said, abortion is like less. But well, I guess
yeah, it's like, 'cause if you're not religious, then you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is just a snapshot, you know?
I'm not on OkCupid or nothing like that, so I can't speak to, you know, the clientele that they have. And I also care about the planet. I care about climate change. You know, I want this planet to survive for my great, 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 great grandchildren. I'll never know. But
right.
If we about to get down, and she like, I don't think the earth is warming, I'm still going to tap that ass. And then, I probably won't come back. You know what I'm saying? I probably won't come back.
So,
but get the fuck out of here.
So this isn't a mate.
What do you mean? Oh, like a relationship?
I'm trying to formulate a joke in my head, and maybe you guys can help me with this. There's something to this is a new version of hot or not. You know, this is like some kind of the like... I can't quite come up with what I want to say, but you get it. You get what
right,
I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Like, how do we?
I'm just saying, like what Paige said.
No, I
This is on the, if there's a lot of stuff you could say in the bedroom, like, that would make me be like, all right, we got to go. And climate change is probably lower on that list.
Well, yeah. I kind of feel like these people taking this survey, just there's also an element of like wanting to look like a good person, you know, being like, oh, I would never date somebody if they said that. Mm-mm.
They're like, I'm currently in a relationship with a diesel engine, but that's a whole other story.
And but I mean, it's complicated, and you know, we have a history, and
yeah, and it was like, it was my grandpa's truck, and like, that's a whole other like hour of story. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But the thing, like you're saying though, this is, and you do kind of have to look at this in its context, right? Because these aren't necessarily indicative of the entire country. These are people who are on a dating app, who and users tend to skew, like the average age is around 32, 33. They're typically living in cities because those are the people mostly using that are on like OkCupid or other dating apps. And also, too, to your point, Jaquise, they're not looking just for the smash. They're looking for an eternal life of smashing. So I get you. Look, okay, who among us hasn't heard some weird shit that you don't agree with? And you're like, well, I'm not going to let this, like, honestly, I'll compromise my beliefs in this moment because I don't want to be alone right now.
Yeah.
And
as the world is ending, by the way, you know,
right?
Yeah.
You're with a person and you're debating why the world's ending as it's ending.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh,
they're fucking hot, though. So
this is just the person that literally the world is ending around you, and the person you're with is like, but this is just the natural cycle that the earth goes through. This has happened before.
Right.
And
yeah. It's actually getting cooler.
So yeah. Global warming is like confused. Like, that's not what's happening.
No, it's a nuclear winter, basically, what we're experiencing. And they said it was warming, right? So yeah, it'll get like, hot again.
And it's like, you girls are always cold. So I don't even know.
And don't steal my hoodie in the apocalypse. So, you know, when you look at like sort of the gap between like men and women who are like looking at this, there isn't much of a difference. Like, both men and women that were surveyed in this were saying like, yes, it's important. Were they asking non-binary people? Maybe not so much, because this is a, you know, it's OkCupid. It's not, they're not necessarily have like maybe the most inclusive polling infrastructure. But when you look at this though, there's a lot of people, like in a few articles talking about this polling stuff, they bring up this concept of like petro-masculinity, that there's this inherent interconnectedness between like sexism, climate denial, and authoritarian politics. Not that it's like a nailed on thing, but it is something that you see intersect a lot. And I think you see that already with the kinds of like big truck culture. You know, like trucks are basically almost exclusively marketed towards like men. I know people who buy trucks who don't even, they're not even in like doing some fucking hard construction shit. They just like a big fucking truck, and that's fine. That's their shit. But like, you know, like rolling coal and like drill, baby, drill, all this shit have all these sort of like, you know, like they have this masculine energy to them, where they're being presented as sort of masculine ideals. Like if you blow fucking black exhaust out of your car, that you're more of a man than someone who drives a fucking hybrid, right?
But that is true though, Miles. That is just true, what you just said.
Yeah, you're, well, and look, we saw Marjorie Taylor Greene say it herself, electric cars are gay. Okay,
yeah.
So.
But, I mean, listen, she's the authority, right? You know,
she's
elected for a reason, right?
Right. To be the arbiter of what is masculine and not. Yeah. And you also like look at these like truck commercials too. Like, you almost think that having like biceps the size of Christmas hams were like a fucking prerequisite to owning like a gigantic truck or whatever. Not to say that everybody who drives a truck is bought in on this, but that's just the way certain things are like marketed, right?
Yeah.
And you even look at how like when the Green New Deal was being touted, everyone immediately focused their energy on like, AOC's a fucking witch who's gonna take away my big monster truck tires and hamburgers, and I hate this shit. And you can already see like how, you know, like how Greta Thunberg is even constantly in the crosshairs of like conservative, like hyper misogynist conservative movements and shit like that, that you're kind of like, oh yeah, there is this sort of, you see it kind of swirling together. There is this interesting thing that it even, you know, affects, you know, the idea that like caring about the earth is like feminine or less masculine. There was a Penn State study that found that like cishet men were reluctant to engage in, quote, eco-friendly behaviors like carrying reusable shopping bags for fear of appearing feminine or gay.
the more important it was to a man that he be perceived as straight, the more wary he was about engaging in these small acts of care for the planet.
Wait a minute. So they're saying that it's gay to have like shopping bags, like when you buy shit? Is that what they're saying?
This poll has found that it's clear that there is a group of men whose masculinity is so fragile to enter a supermarket with a reusable bag. Hey, is that gay, fellas?
Now, see, you know, times have changed, man, because back when we were younger, Miles and Paige, you know, to being a real man was I'm going to carry 30 bags of groceries into the house in one trip, you know, and now you can't even have bags no more.
I'll just carry everything loose.
Carry everything loose.
Oh, look at you using bags.
Keep moving these goalposts, man. Shit, my arms ain't that big no more.
Also, for someone, bags pile up. You know, before I was using reusable bags, you would have like a whole section of your house was all these loose fucking bags you came home with, and you know what the fuck to do with them.
Well, eventually, and I'm going to need to put a wet bathing suit in this because
right. Exactly. I might someone might have muddy shoes that they can take their wet Vans home in this bag. But
you might
accidentally poop yourself
and need to set your clothes on fire. You need a bag.
Great example.
Right. So it's not that caring about the earth makes you feminine. But again, that's just an interesting sort of dimension that people are like sort of looking at. It's like this idea, like that the very, very rigid, sad thinking concept of masculinity, that like thinking of the future and what is like good for the health of the earth makes you less of a man.
Well, it's kind of similar to like how men are more likely generally to like self-medicate and not like seek help. It's just like it feels like another element of that of like, there's nothing wrong. I'm fine. Are you fine? Like, why are we carrying bags to the grocery store? Right. I don't know what's going on.
They're like, you don't want to carry bags? I don't want to talk about carrying bags.
I'm not carrying a purse into the grocery store. Like,
what? Yeah. Keep wearing that face diaper. What? All right, dude.
Maybe they should put something on the bags that they sell at the grocery store, something masculine, you know, maybe flames, something, you know,
to make it right on there. Like reusable bags, like an eagle with like a 4-foot dick or some shit.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah.
A 4-foot dick.
And it's coming rockets. Yeah.
You want to feel masculine? Let me hold this bag with a bear dick on it.
With a big ass bird dick. I mean, dude, people already want to put a ball sack on their truck, so why not? Mm-hmm. You know, but that shit's tight. Not because I wish my tow hitch was like a chody dick on the back of my car. The fuck are you talking about?
We don't hear the term chode enough anymore. You know,
no.
Thanks for bringing it back.
I mean, I don't know. It felt like that was a very West Coast thing, you know.
Yeah,
West Coast chodes.
Okay.
West Coast chodes. All right. Shout out to my West Coast chodes.
New TV show. West Coast Customs.
Right, exactly. Hey, and I'm X to the Z exhibit. And we're going to check out this sick new chode. We hooking up your chode. It got the PlayStation in the back. All right, player. Exhibit? Not actually from California. Not many people.
We used to be a proper country. Back when MTV was pimping our rise and showing our cribs.
Do you ever drive by the West Coast Customs right there by the Empire Center?
Oh yeah,
in
oh,
Burbank.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And just sigh. So for people who aren't from, I know a lot of people are like, man, some people they talk about LA too much. So here's a little insight, folks. The West Coast Customs shop. I don't know if it was there during the filming of the show. It may have been. But it's in Burbank, California, and it's right down the street from this big ass shopping center called the Empire Center, where it's like the Best Buy and all that shit is in Burbank.
Walmart, Target, everything.
Exactly. And you drive by, and like whenever I drive by it, I slow down for a second to like try and just see if I can see something happening in there. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And all they do is just like give you like tuned up Ford Focuses out of there.
Yeah. I've never been. I should go in and just check. I've lived a mile away from it for 10 years, and I've never been to it. I pass it up all the time. I should go to it one day. See what they can do with my Volkswagen.
Go in there. What was that one dude's name? Mike?
Wasn't there a guy named Big Mike or something?
Oh, Killer Mike? Oh, no, Big Mike. Yeah, Big Mike.
Mad
he died.
Mike. Remember? What? Mad Mike?
I think he died. Fat Mike or Big Mike? The Mike? Mike died. Yeah, Mike died.
I mean, a lot of these like reality shows that we grew up on, a lot of people who were on them are now dead. It's like,
yeah, man.
It's they a died. Pretty huge bummer.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, I was like watching Mike... Robin Big on Pluto TV over the pandemic, and I was like having such a great time. I was like, I forgot about this show, and then I remembered, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that Chris.
I think that's
died.
What I'm thinking about. Rob died. Rob from Robin.
No,
Mike.
Big. No,
Big.
Died.
Big.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Rob's
everybody
still...
on MTV is dead. They all
anyone
gone,
on
man.
Pluto TV probably
is dead.
Yeah. Q's still there. Mad Mike. Okay, he's still there, I think.
Okay.
He bailed on the show. Then he's starting on the Galpin Autosports, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I don't
Galpin,
think anybody died.
If you need a Ford, get it at Galpin.
You can get it at Galpin. all right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about something else after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. The fucking VR world. I'm bringing this up because, cool, Wendy's is finally opening in the metaverse. What? So there's this like announcement that came out today that says that there's, you know, look, first of all, we see all of these announcements all the time where companies are like putting out these press releases. We're like, we're so excited to begin to participate in the metaverse. Like, this is just, it's just an exciting new place to connect with the fans of our restaurant. Or whatever the fuck. So they can get connected with an Oculus headset. So the latest announcement is from Wendy's. And I think they're going to be one of the first fast food chains in the metaverse or some shit. This is like one of their chief marketing officers said, which I don't even know what it means. Quote, for years, we've been meeting our fans in unexpected ways and places with our unique approach to social media, gaming, and engagement. Truly a first of its kind, the Wendyverse bridges the best of today with tomorrow to show up for our fans across every world. With a Frosty and fries in hand. Do any of y'all know what that even means or what you can expect based on those words?
Let me tell y'all a little something. Oculus is tight, bro.
I love an Oculus. It's I'm fucking not hating tight. On the Oculus.
And the metaverse, I don't get it. But whenever I be doing shit, they'd be like, this feels like some type of verse. And like, I like it.
I was gonna say, now, Miles, this is gonna be, there's gonna be like in 10 years you hanging out in the Wendy's in the metaverse and they play this clip, man, of you being like, what does that even mean?
I'm like a meme where they're like, this dude doesn't fuck with the metaverse.
Feels like a natural extension of the whole thing that's been happening for years of like these companies are like, we're on Twitter and we tweet like goofy stuff. And it's just like, you know, like Denny's Twitter. And like, I feel like Taco Bell has a lot of like, you know, like they have like their own line at Forever 21 and shit. Like, it's right, like right, right. Every brand has to be in all these spaces. So it's for like, sure, they just have to do a metaverse thing because it's like the next thing.
Yeah, 100%. But I guess that this is where the disconnect comes, right? Because
the food.
I've played, the biggest one. Yeah. Let's suspend our disbelief like we're watching a rom-com for a second and not ask the most fucking pressing questions. Like, how do you fucking eat? Mm-hmm. But like, every time I've used Oculus, I love it. I think it's super dope. There's times I'm just in the fucking, like that, the loading main menu where you're just in that like big room and I'm like, yo, this shit is fucking tight. Aside from me being high and just looking around, be like, yo, this shit is tight. I'm not then going to the next thing, like, you know, it'd be sick if I could go to the post office in here. That's if I true. Could go to fucking Wendy's in here. Then that's where I'm saying, where's that next jump? Because to your point, there, like many of the people say, oh, what can you do with this? It's only for people if you have an Oculus headset. First of all, it's only that you can experience it. But if you do have it, you can experience the Wendyverse Town Square Central with the Wendy's restaurant replicated in the virtual world. Players can go behind the counter and meet friends. Or the Wendy's Partnership Plaza, where players can visit the Buck Biscuit Dome to shoot hoops with a virtual Baconator and cut the net following a winning shot.
The go behind the counter is a little concerning.
Yeah. I don't want to go behind the counter.
We shouldn't be encouraging Wendy's customers to go behind the counter.
They're like, I do this in the metaverse.
That's a world we shouldn't cross, man. You should never cross the counter line. That is one thing that we all agree on. Never cross the counter line.
It's an insurance issue. If something happens to you back there, like, you're not covered. Right. You're not an employee, you know?
Like, wait, make it more real in that sense, where you cross the line and, like, these, like, AI-generated employees start stomping you out because they don't know what the fuck you're doing back there. But I see more people fucking around on like in the metaverse or in the open worlds, whatever Meta Facebook thing. And they're playing games and having fun. but I'm not sure how this relates to connecting with fast food fans. And I'm not trying to say I'm completely confounded by the modern marketing of our corporations. I completely understand where it's going. But like, to the biggest point that you bring up, Paige, is like, if I go to fucking Wendy's, it's to fucking eat. So well, not to thing, play Miles. VR basketball with some random 12-year-old who wants to say the N-word out loud a bunch to me. Like,
it's true.
That's... I could kind of see that happening in a Wendy's. I feel yeah, like yeah, no, in real life. Wendy's.
Yeah. So I guess really the only thing missing is food.
Wendy's is a wild place, man. Wendy's is Wendy's is the first time I did, you know, stuff in the car. And I was in Wendy's parking lot and nobody bothered us.
Okay. Was,
the watchful eye of Wendy just looking watchful over eye. You.
Wendy was like, let them be. One tear goes down for innocence
lost.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But also, here's where I think it'll go, Miles. Here's okay. where I think it'll go. You go up, you say, "Hey, what's up? I would like to order a double bacon cheeseburger. Give me a couple nuggets and the frosty, right?" And then mm-hmm. they say, "Okay," and they put that order in, and it acts like a DoorDash or a Postmates. So you're ordering from a Wendy's nearby, and they drive it to you, and they'll be like, "Yeah, that'll be like 20 minutes." And then you sitting there, you talking, you having some fun, and then your Wendy's come to your door. And then you eat right. your Wendy's. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe okay. the Wendy's metaverse is the new Postmates.
Mm.
I think what they have to figure out, though, is like, then when you go to the door to like get your Postmates, do you need to take mm-hmm. off your Oculus? Like, how do they integrate the eating and the like going to within your house, you know?
Right, yeah, right.
At some See? Point, the goggles got to come off.
Yeah. You know. We ain't asking. But, we ain't asking all them questions. You know, we just.
I want to know. I hope they can figure it out. Yeah, I hope so.
I want them to yeah. figure it out.
It's just
the
something
second, like you can actually translate like physical touch, mm-hmm. and that's when
well, that's
we've
like
crossed
they,
the Rubicon.
They do have that. Like, have you ever gone to at the Westfield Century City? They have Dreamscape. It's like a VR
oh,
experience.
Yeah. The place that I'm, whenever I walk by, I'm like, what the fuck they doing in there?
You gotta go in. It's so fun. But there's okay. parts of it where you pick stuff up. And like, if you actually see what's going on, which I always think the people who are monitoring the rooms must just be like holding in laughter because
right,
you're
right.
literally just picking up like a plastic ball or something.
Sure.
But it feels like you're picking up like a dinosaur egg or whatever the thing
right,
is.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's incredible. Like sure. it's
I mean like I'm thinking bigger, Paige. I'm like, when do I put on like my bodysuit and then I hug somebody and the shit puts pressure on my body. I'm like, I'm being mm-hmm. held. You know what I mean? Mm. All that to say, I miss my dad.
Oh.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, the metaverse won't be real until it gives us hugs from our dads and our moms.
Right,
and
exactly.
We miss
and
love.
We can eat. When I can share a Wendy's with my father in the metaverse.
Yeah, when what you're actually like touching in physical space matches what you're seeing, that will be...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then that's going to be bad because then that's just the Matrix and then we're all going to be in pods because we don't need to fuck around with physical life anymore.
I was going
to
say, that's that. Now we crossing over into Black Mirror, San Junipero or whatever that episode was.
Yeah.
That's where we're heading, where everybody's just going to be like, you know what? Just go ahead and lay me down, put the little doubt on my head and let me live in my,
right.
you know, let me live in the cloud. Let me go ahead and just live in the
and
cloud.
And I'm
going to
be out
quick.
Here being like, don't fuck with the metaverse. We knew with the Wendy's it was bad. We knew where it was fucking going. Jesus. All right. Well, Paige, thank you so much for joining us today on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to you, hear you, experience your humor?
You can find me on Instagram at Paige Weldon, just my name. And I guess Twitter, I don't know. And you can also, I have an album, it's a few years old now, but it's still out there called Girlfriend at the Time. You can listen to that. You can also listen mm-hmm. to old episodes of Mall Talk if you want.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it I think.
Yeah. And is there a tweet that you like, a work of social media that you want to shout out that
okay,
gave you
Okay, so I do struggle with this for the fact that I feel like I'm not on Twitter that much.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just share my friend? I just want to talk about, so my friend Katie French, who is mm-hmm. a comedian, she also has a YouTube channel called Laugh Cry DIY, where she does sort of like apartment friendly, like cheap makeovers of people's apartments.
Okay.
And nice. They are so fucking impressive. And
really?
I literally like, I know Katie. I talk to her all the time. And then I will like find myself scrolling through her Instagram, looking at like, I was mentioning it to someone the other day and they were like looking at it being like, oh my God, she's good. And I'm like, she is good. And yeah. It's just like really cool, like tips and like, you know, a lot of using like her most popular video is she did a makeover on a kitchen for our friend Rachel Friedland and Chelsea Quinn, and they like put contact paper on the cabinets and like this cool stuff on the floor, like, and it's all like removable, so if you move out, like,
right
it's not the damaged,
fuck you up with the fees. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what came to mind where I'm like, that's what I like on social media.
And what's
like,
it called, Laugh Cry DIY?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
check out Her YouTube.
You know where to go for the real good stuff.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I always appreciate good DIY. Jacquees, thank you so much again for co-hosting today. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to you, experience you, and what's a tweet that you like?
Oh, well, you know what it is. You can find me in these streets as always. Paige, a pleasure having you on. Nice to officially meet you as well. At Jacquees Neal on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, I mentioned this yesterday. I'll mention it again. If you're in town, I want as many people to come to this as they can. Mother's Absolutely. Day, May 8th, Comedian Feud. I am hosting LA comedians only version of Family Feud at the Elysian Theater with the Paul F. Tompkins team going against the Lauren Lapkus team with the very special stand-up set with Naomi Aparigan. So I'm very excited about that. So come check it out. Bring your families, bring your mamas, take them out to dinner, give them some flowers, and then bring them to Comedian Feud and watch Family Feud with funny-ass people. It's going to be a good-ass time.
I love this. I love Family Feud. This is great.
Good time. It's going to be a great-ass time. I'm looking forward to it. So this tweet that I like serves double purpose. Because I brought up this tweet, I think, yesterday, and the person who wrote it, need to amend the tweet. So, as we know, Black people in Hollywood have all collectively decided, hey, man, we're going to keep our mouth shut. We handling this in-house with the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. We ain't got shit to say.
No comment.
Y'all leave us the fuck alone. We got this. This ain't y'all business, right? But somebody didn't give Zoe Kravitz the memo, and she said some shit, and Zoe Kravitz has been getting dragged on Twitter and on social media. Dragged everybody didn't bring out the receipts. And so yesterday, I said one of my favorite tweets, or maybe the day before, I can't remember. One of my favorite tweets was from Zach Fox, and he said, "Nigga slapped me in front of Zoe Kravitz. They're going to have to put me down like Old Yeller." Very funny. Very funny. Well, now that Zoe Kravitz has, fallen down, he wrote a tweet right under that with an asterisk, Zendaya. And I would like to also say that. So that's my tweet. It is an amendment to his tweet. And that's my favorite tweet. Yeah. So I take that favorite tweet back from a couple days ago and replace Zoe Kravitz with Zendaya. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah, we are back. We are back to our original light skin love, Zendaya. Unproblematic queen.
Regularly scheduled programming. Some tweets that I like. First one is from James at Caucasian James. Tweeted, "Fellas, what you doing if she invites you over to swim, but there's a bunch of leaves in her pool?" So stupid. But shout out Caucasian James with that player's dilemma. If there's so many leaves in her pool, player, okay.
I mean, that's certainly taking me to a place. I'm like, I'm there. I can picture the pool.
Can you imagine? I mean, realistically, right? How many leaves is too many leaves? I get some shit blows in. There's fucking leaves at the body pool. But like, is it that you can't see the bottom, that the color, like, it's affecting the quality of the water?
There's degrees. What's the
leaf threshold for everybody here?
I would probably say if the pool got about 20 leaves in it, I'm going to be like, I don't know.
That pool feels like, to push the leaves out of the way, you know, if I can avoid them without it being an issue, whatever. But if I feel like I need to, like, grab that, you know, what is the, like, cleaning little skimmer basket kind of or whatever, yeah. then I'm yeah. going to say, you know what, net. We'll just do something else. Yeah.
And also, you know, like, when there's leaves in the pool, you also got sticks in the pool now, and you got little dirt particles.
Bugs.
There's a lot of shit that comes with the leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Look at all of us with our tender skin. We will not go through a dirty pool. For me, it's like, if I, in the shallow end, if I'm kicking up leaves as I walk, because, I mean, growing up in the valley, people had pools. Not everybody took care of their shit. So, like, there were levels to it.
Right.
It was when I'm like, I can't jump in and then my feet are all leaved up. Then I'm having problems.
They're sticking to you. Yeah.
Yo, I wouldn't hook up with a person who had too many leaves in their pools before I wouldn't hook up with somebody who denied climate. No, let me shut up.
Wow.
Wait.
I'm joking.
Can I share?
No, I like that.
This is like not a tweet.
You can work
but
with somebody, I think, on the climate change denial. I'm sorry.
I just remembered a TikTok I saw, which is like one of those TikToks that just says something. And it's like a girl being like, she's like kind of like, oh, my God. And it says, thinking about the time my friend ripped up her boyfriend's birth certificate during an argument and said, shut up. You don't even exist.
Legend.
And then like there's the elaboration in the comments of like he cheated on her and
right, sure.
She was going through drawers and found it and like
wow, you don't even exist.
I forgot about that. That's kind of a tweet.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's just such a clap back. You're like, you know what? You're not even real, motherfucker.
This is going to be a pain in the ass for you in the future in those few times when you need a birth certificate for some reason.
Yep. Hope you got notary money. Okay, another tweet I like is from past guest Derek Lemos, at Derek Lemos, DerrickLemos, tweeted, between Coco and Encanto, Everything Everywhere All the Time, and Turning Red, millennial filmmakers are slowly creating an entire genre of fantasy films where parents apologize. And I was like, holy shit. That definitely got the attention of hundreds of thousands of people because that tweet blew up. And then finally, Daddy Magic, at Kath Barbadoro, tweeted, Madison Cawthorn, so there's this whole thing we talked about on the trending episode about Madison Cawthorn being like, the people in like DC are doing drugs and having sex orgies. What's going on here? So this is in response to that, Kath tweeting, Madison Cawthorn telling on people is really funny because it's the first public reckoning of the fact that there are now true believers in Congress. All the old guys were just doing kayfabe, and now they're like, oh, you actually think all the stuff we said on Fox News was real? LOL. And that hit differently for all my wrestling political fans out there.
Yeah.
You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. As you know, Mad Boosties with Jack and I. Get that every Thursday. And also the other podcast I do with Sophia Alexandra, 420 Day Fiancé, where we, you know, just get fucking high and talk 90 Day because that's how we survive. Check that podcast out. And also check us out at 420, or not 420 Day. Damn, what show am I on? At Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes?
There it is. Where we post the episodes, the links to the articles, and even the song we write out on. Today, we're going to go out on a track by Jackie McLean and Michael Carvin called De Camalea. And it's like a jazzy sort of experimental track with a lot of percussion. It kind of sounds like, I describe it as a song you hear in like a Guy Ritchie or like Spike Lee film, where it's like one of those songs that you can just set to a lot of action on screen and it will instantly kind of enhance it. I think like that a lot of the times when I listen to music. So check this out. It's called De Camalea. And that's spelled D-E space I space C-O-M-A-H-L-E-E space A-H. Jackie McLean, Michael Carvin. All right, check that out. We will be back later today to tell you what's trending. And until then, man, do you. But do it well and gracefully. All right, see you later. Bye.
Thanks for the movies, Bruce Willis.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.